Well, if you would, open your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians. We've been here for the last few Sundays and may finish up this little series of messages we've been in. Galatians chapter 5, this morning, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And we have been thinking about the Christian's liberty. The Christian's liberty. You remember the letter to the Galatians was written to warn of false teachers and the deception that they were spreading into the churches in the area of Galatia. False teachers had come in and they were preaching another gospel, not the true gospel, not the gospel, another gospel, a false gospel. And they were preaching Jesus, and that's how false teachers are. They'll preach a little bit of the truth and sow some lies and deceptions. And that's what they were doing. They were preaching Jesus, but they were saying that Jesus alone is not enough. You also have to be circumcised. You also have to keep the laws. You also have to keep the feast and the celebrations. It was Jesus plus works. Jesus plus what you could do. And some of the strongest and harshest words in all the Scripture are spoken to these false teachers and those who would follow them into that deception and believe those lies. Matter of fact, he says there in chapter 1, let them be accursed, anathema. Let them be eternally damned if they preach another gospel and lead themselves and those who follow them into hell. And so serious words and serious deception, serious consequences. But as we come here to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 is where we had been in following, and this morning, verse 16, the attention is turning back to these believers and the calling that is theirs in Christ, and is a calling to freedom. And that is what Christianity is. It is a calling to freedom. Christ has set us free. There's a liberty that we have in Christ, and we have seen already the calling to Christian liberty. That's in chapter 5, verse 13. We have been called to liberty. There's a freedom that we have in Christ. If we're in Christ, if we're truly His and saved, then we are no longer under the law. No longer under the law as a means of salvation and acceptance before God, and no longer under the law's condemnation. It can no longer condemn us. We have been set free from the law. We have been set free in Christ. And we're to stand in that liberty and freedom that we have in Christ. And then we saw the definition of Christian liberty, the last part of verse 13, where there's a warning there. And the liberty and the freedom that we have in Christ, it doesn't mean that we're now free to indulge the flesh. Just because we've been set free in Christ and we're no longer bound up in the law and no longer under its condemnation does not mean that we can now indulge the flesh in sin and just live however we want to live as though it's no big deal. We don't want to fall into compromise. That's not what our freedom in Christ is talking about. We don't want to fall into legalism where we think, well, if I just do enough, I'll be accepted before God. If I can just obey all these things, then I'll be saved. Absolutely not. Don't fall into legalism, nor fall into liberalism. Either one is a dangerous ditch. Both of those are deceptions. Both of those are perversions of the liberty that we have in Christ. So we've been set free. It's not a freedom to be bound up again with the law and try to attain favor from God by what we can do, nor is it a liberty to just go off into sin as though it really doesn't matter how we now live. Those are both ditches we do not want to fall into as those who are in Christ. This morning, as we are continuing on in verse 16 now and following, we see the third point, which is the power for Christian liberty. The power for Christian liberty, since this is what our freedom in Christ truly is. We're free in Christ, no longer bound in the law, free to serve one another in love, free to obey God, enabled to obey God with Holy Spirit power, not fall back into sin nor into legalism. Since this is what our liberty is, how do we live this out? How do we make this a reality? How do we live in the freedom we have in Christ and not get bound up in what we can do as if we're earning favor and acceptance with God or fall into that ditch of sin and begin to become complacent and the things of God and the commands of God really don't have root in us? We're not really going after God or seeking God or obeying God. How do we live in the freedom that we have been set free in Christ? And so we see the power for this. Galatians 5, look at verse 16. And we're just going to read down through verse 18. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's pray this morning. Father, again, as we open your word, we acknowledge our need for you. And God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just take these words off the page and drive them down into our hearts. God, I need this truth in my heart and soul. And each of us, God, need these truths down into our life, our soul, where we live, that we would live according to this truth in Holy Spirit power. And so, God, help us today. We pray for those among us that are lost, that do not know you, God, that they would be gripped by the power of the Holy Spirit in your word to see their sin and their need for Christ and run to Jesus as their only hope of salvation, to put their faith in him. And God, that these truths would grip us and move us, that we would not operate our lives in our own power or in our flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, help us today. We need you. Enable me, Father, to preach as I ought and enable us to take these things to our heart. May they have their perfect work in us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What we find here in this passage literally is the key to living the Christian life. This is the key, the foundation to truly following Christ and living in the freedom that we have been given in Christ. If we're going to live in that freedom, we've been given a freedom in Christ, but if we're going to live in that freedom, then we have to put this truth into practice. And the truth is this, we are to walk. We are to be living and conducting our lives moment by moment, day by day, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God who is living in us. As Jesus spoke in John chapter 3, verse 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. That's what salvation is. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to know that I'm now going to heaven, I'm right with God, that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven? What does that mean? It is to be born again. It is, as the Bible says, a biblical word, theological word. It is to be regenerated. It is for a dead man, spiritually dead in sin, to be imparted the divine life of God, to be made new on the inside, given a new nature, changed from the inside out, new power, new desires, a new perspective concerning everything in life. You must be born again. And then you must be surrendered daily, moment by moment, to the Holy Spirit of God who is now living in you. You must be given up to the Spirit of God. You must be seeking God and putting the flesh to death and empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit to live as God has called us to live. That's how we must live in the freedom that we've been given in Christ. And this is absolutely crucial. Apart from walking in the Spirit, all the obedience in the world to God's commands mean absolutely nothing. You can obey God and obey God and obey God and obey God in your own flesh, and you're getting nothing done. Nothing done. If we seek to live for Christ in our own power, we're accomplishing nothing of eternal value. The only thing that avails, the only thing that matters, the only thing that's going to accomplish anything eternally is what is done through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I'm working and operating and doing everything in my life, and I mean everything, if I'm at home trying to love my wife and be around my wife and have that relationship with my wife and my children in my own power, I'm getting nothing done eternally. I have to be filled with the Spirit to love my wife as I ought. Can't do that in my own power. Have to be filled with the Spirit to love my children and bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. I have to be filled with the Spirit to go to work that day and serve the Lord Christ and not myself or my own agenda or means. It's all by the Spirit. And whatever is not by the Spirit avails nothing, accomplishes nothing. And so this passage, this truth, is absolutely crucial. This is where the rubber meets the road in the Christian life and living in the freedom that we have in Christ. So three things I want us to see as we look at this passage of Scripture, thinking about the power for Christian liberty. Number one, we see the command. Verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, this is flowing out of what he has just said previously, and we've been looking at that over the last couple of Sundays. But basically, he's saying because, notice, he says, I say then, because of what I have just spoken, because of what I've just been saying, because you've been called to liberty, because there's a freedom that you have been given in Christ, and because that freedom is not a liberty to indulge the flesh, and because that freedom is not a liberty to be liberated just to go into sin or to be bound up in that legalism, you've been given this freedom in Christ, and it is a liberty to now serve one another in love. Because of these things, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this is the essential key to living the Christian life. This is the essential key to living in the freedom that we have been called to in Christ. This is the essential key to putting sin to death and truly serving God and one another in love. We must walk in the Spirit. Now, this is a command from God to you and me. We're to walk in the Spirit. This is how we're to now be living as those who are in Christ. This is how we're to be operating our lives on a daily basis. We are to be walking in the Spirit. And the word walk just speaks of our conduct. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Conduct your life in the Spirit. Operate your life. Everything you do from the inside out in the Spirit. And it's spoken in the present tense, meaning this is to be continual. This isn't a one-time, one-and-done thing, but every moment of every day, we are to be walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, conducting our life in the Holy Spirit power of God. And so this is continual and ongoing every moment of the day. Now, it is a biblical fact, it is a biblical truth that every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. If you are a Christian, if you are saved, if you're right with God and you are heaven bound, and when you die, heaven is a certainty, then you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. That's a fact. That's an absolute truth. And that's what genuine salvation is. As we spoke a moment ago, John 3, verse 3, you must be born again. You must be imparted divine life. The salvation is the taking of a dead man, dead in sin, and giving him the life of God. Imparting to him everlasting life. He was a man dead, condemned, on his way to hell, and now he's imparted the life of God and he's on his way to heaven. That's what salvation is. It's the taking of a man who is devoid of the Spirit of God, does not have the Spirit of God, and now indwelling him with the Spirit of God. It is regeneration. It is the washing of water by the Word. It is the renewing of the Holy Spirit, as it says in the book of Titus. It is the cleansing of sin and reconciliation with God and the imparting of divine life and the changing of the nature. And God is now in the man or in the woman, and everything has changed from the inside out. New nature, new desire, new power, new direction. Everything has changed because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 tells us, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, if indeed Christ dwells in you. If you're His, and then you're in the Spirit. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is not Christ. He's not saved. He's not born again. So if you are saved, and you've truly surrendered your life to Christ and turned from sin to Jesus, and all your hope is in Him as Savior and Lord, then you are born again, and the Spirit of God is in you. And if he's not in you, then you're not His. No exception to that. That's an absolute biblical truth. And so every Christian is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. We see it over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We know these verses. We've heard these. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so there's no question, biblically speaking, that if you're a true Christian, the Spirit of God is living in you. He's in you. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be right with God and truly on your way to heaven. You have divine life. The Spirit of God is now living in you. Now, when did that happen? Over in the book of Ephesians, just to the right there of Galatians 5, maybe a page or two in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, look down at verse 13. When did the Holy Spirit come into the Christian? Ephesians 1, verse 13. In Him, and that's speaking of Jesus, going back to verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. That's talking about the apostles, Paul and others. In Him, verse 13, in Christ you also trusted. When? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And so when did the Holy Spirit come live inside of us? If we're a believer, the moment we believe. The moment we heard the gospel and God drove it in and we knew that Jesus was our only hope and we turned from sin and we put our faith in Christ and we believed upon Christ, at that moment the Holy Spirit of God came into us and gave us divine life. And He sealed us. It's speaking of a stamp. Like in that day, they would melt wax and the king had a signet ring and they would make that signet ring's impression on that wax, and whatever was marked with that signet impression was owned by that king. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in the life of every believer. It is the mark of God's ownership on you. You were bought at a price. You are not your own. You're God's. I'm God's. If we be in Him, He owns us. And He's also the guarantee. He is the absolute assurance. He's like the wedding ring here that's assurance. This just shows, it's a symbol, I love my wife. He is the guarantee of the inheritance of the purchased possession. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you, changed by His power, the life of God in you, no question about it, you're God's, and heaven is sure, God's going to bring you home to glory. There's no one that God saves, puts His Spirit in, and then He loses them, and they lose the Holy Spirit, and they're lost again. Impossible. He's a guarantee. You've got the Spirit, you're God's, and you're heaven-bound. No question about it. And so I would stop here and just pause and let us examine ourselves. Is that a reality in your life? I'm not talking about, are you saved? Did you walk down an aisle? Did you say a prayer sometime? I'm talking about, are you imparted with divine life? Is God in you? Can you get away with wandering from God and just living in sin and living in sin and doing your own thing and doing your own thing and not giving regard to God? Or the moment you begin to step away from God, does God convict you and break you and bring you back because you're His? He's in you. Is the Spirit of God living in you? Are you changed from the inside out? Do you have a new nature? Do you have new desires? Do you have a new perspective? Is there an old man that used to live in you that's now dead and a new man that's raised to newness of life? Is that true of you? Because if you're saved, it is. And if that's not true of you, then you're not His. You must be born again. Now, beloved, we can know this. We can know that God is in us. 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know that. And all the Bible, but specifically 1 John, but all of it written that we might know that we have eternal life. Why? Because it tells us who God is. It tells us about our sin. It tells us about the fact we're condemned. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us about the cross. It tells us what it means to be saved. It tells us about repentance and faith and what that new nature is and the fruit of it. And you examine yourself in light of this, and you can know that God has saved you. You can know it. And it's not based upon us. It's not based about, well, how good can I be? How good can I live? How much? It's based upon Jesus and what He's done. But if He's in you, He's changed you. And you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. And so God is in us, and we now love Him, and there's a part of us that truly hates our sin and wants to overpower it. And beloved, if this is so of us, if the Spirit of God is living in us, then listen, we are to now walk in the Spirit. We are to walk in the Spirit. And so we are to conduct our lives now, every moment of every day, in everything that we do, surrendered, given over to the Holy Spirit of God and His leading and His working in us. That is a command. That is the command right here. Walk in the Spirit. Be given up every moment of every day to the Spirit of God who's living in you. Be surrendered over to Him. Follow His leading. Follow His working in your life. And I want you to notice here, may seem kind of basic, but crucial, this is a command. He's commanding us, isn't He? Walk in the Spirit. He's commanding us to do this, and that's important because that tells us that our will is involved. Our will is involved in this. In other words, this isn't automatic. It's not automatic. Just because we've been saved, just because the life of God is in us, the Spirit of God is in us, just because we have a new nature now wrought by God, does not mean that we just automatically every day walk in the Spirit. No. No, sir. No, ma'am. Not at all. This is a command. This is something that we have to do. This is how we are now to be operating our lives. It's not automatic. It is not one and done. This is something we have to continually be obeying and doing in our life. And so this involves commitment. This involves effort. This involves discipline. We are to take this to heart and move our will to align with God and walk in the Spirit. It will not happen automatically. If you think you'll just get up every day and this is just going to happen, you'll never walk in the Spirit. You've got to obey this command. You've got to put it to heart and put it to practice. And beloved, this is where the power is. This is where the power is in the Christian life. This is where the power is to put sin to death. This is where the power is to obey God and serve one another in love and serve God and do things that are eternal, to love our wife, to love our children, to teach them, to be a part of the church, to spread the... This is where the power is. This is the whole issue. This is the foundation of living and the freedom that we have been given in Christ. It's at the very heart of it. We must bring ourselves, our will, our mind, our desires, our actions, our whole being from the inside out into surrender of the Holy Spirit of God who's now living in us as believers. We're to walk in the Spirit, conduct our life in the Spirit, and we are to do that every moment of every single day. Look with me back at Romans chapter 8 for a moment. We looked at this a Sunday or two ago. Romans 8. Excuse me, go to Romans 13. It's verse 8. Romans 13, down in verse 8. And this will shed some light on what we're talking about. What do you mean walk in the Spirit? And this passage is much the same as what we're looking at in Galatians. Romans 13, verse 8. He says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." And we've already saw that in Galatians. We're to be serving one another in love, except to love one another, verse 8. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Verse 9, Romans 13, verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Every command of Scripture is boiled down to one word, love. Twofold, love God supremely, love one another sacrificially. You do that, you fulfilled it all. Look at verse 11. And do this, how? How do we do this, God? Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It's the same calling. We have a freedom in Christ. It is a freedom to now fulfill the law in love. Not out of requirement, but out of love. Love God, love one another. You'll fulfill the whole law. How do we do that? Knowing the time. We don't have much time. Even if you live a long life, it's fleeting from you. And the older you get, the more that's driven into your heart. Life is fleeting. If I'm going to love my wife, teach my children that they need Jesus, what it means to love and follow Christ, right now is the time. I may not have tomorrow. We're going to get busy telling others about Christ and unified as the church and sacrificially giving ourselves to take the gospel to the world. Right now's the time because the night is far spent. This age of darkness is almost gone. The day is at hand. Christ is standing at the door. That's what it's telling us. Right now's the time. Urgency. Not a moment to waste. And then how do we do this? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It's the same thing God commands us in Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. It is the same exact thing. To put on Christ is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to put on Christ. Same thing, just coming at it from two different angles. And so we are to put on Christ. Put on Christ, make no provision for the flesh. There's your flesh, it's still trying to operate, and you're to cut it off. You're to crucify it daily. You're to make no provision for it. Don't set a table for it. Don't give it an opportunity because it will take advantage of every opportunity you give it. Don't let the flesh be your base of operation. You have a new base of operation. It is the Holy Spirit of God. And so put off the flesh, make no provision for it, and put on Christ and walk in the Holy Spirit, surrendered to the Spirit of God in you, fully given up to Christ. And so this is the command to you and me. This is how we're to be living our lives. And understand, there are two and only two possibilities for the Christian every moment of every day. You are either walking in the Spirit or you are walking in the flesh. Right now, we're either in the Spirit or we are in the flesh. When we go out these doors, we're going to be in the Spirit or in the flesh. You get up tomorrow morning, you're going to be in the Spirit or in the flesh. You go about that day, every moment of that day, you're either going to be in the Spirit or you're going to be in the flesh. And when you're in the Spirit, you're one step away from being in the flesh. And so the command is walk in the Spirit. Listen, is this how we live? Do we live our lives walking in the Spirit, denying the flesh, putting off the flesh, surrendering to God moment by moment, day by day, under His control, under His power, enabled by Him? You know, it sounds pretty simple. Just walk in the Spirit. Okay, I got it. I need to be walking in the Spirit. Just put on the Lord Jesus Christ, be given up to Him. But all of us who are truly saved know this is a battle. This is warfare. This isn't easy. This isn't easy at all. So that leads us to the second thing we see. Not only the command, but back to Galatians 5 there, the conflict. Galatians 5 verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I mean, no sooner are we commanded to walk in the Spirit that we are then told this will not be easy. As a matter of fact, this is going to be a battle. This is going to be full out intense warfare. There's a struggle involved in walking in the Spirit. There's a struggle, and I mean intense warfare, battle in walking in the Spirit. Make no doubt about it. We have to fight to live like this. Just because you're saved, as I said, doesn't mean this is automatic. This just kind of happens. No, you're going to have to battle for this. You're going to have to be engaged in warfare to walk in the Spirit. Why is that? Why such a battle? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. And what's the end of that? So that you do not do the things that you wish. This word lust, the flesh lusts against the Spirit lusts against the flesh, is speaking of inward desire. Literally, inward affection. Inward desire, inward longing. The flesh is longing in direct opposition to the Spirit of God in us. And the Spirit of God, who now lives in us as believers, is longing and desiring in direct opposition to the flesh. They are complete opposites, total opposites to one another. Therefore, the battle. There's a warfare going on. And it's on the inside of the believer, in our mind, in our thoughts, in our desires, in our affections, our longings, and it is an all-out battle. It's an all-out struggle. It's an all-out conflict. You know, that's one of the first things that you learn as a new believer. I mean, God brings you out of your sin to the knowledge of truth. You turn from sin to Christ, put faith in Him, all that by God. You're given divine life. Everything changes. You have new desires. I mean, you're saved. I want to live for God. Everything's new. I want to know Him. You're in the Word. You're praying. You're saying, God, show me. God, teach me. I want to live for You. And all of a sudden you realize, as I'm trying to live for God and go after God, I'm in a battle and I keep sinning and I keep failing. And the things that God wants me to do, I end up not doing. And some of the things that I wish I would do and that I desire to do, I end up not doing those things. And I'm in this intense battle. Anybody relate to that? What is it? It's this battle. Why do we battle like this? As I call it, it's the dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking, no good flesh that remains. It's what it is. The flesh. What are we talking about? The word itself means the physical body. Just the flesh, the tissue that covers the skeletal tissue and structure. I mean the structure. But theologically, biblically, in this context, it's metaphoric more, but spiritual. It's speaking of the sensual part of man. That's the flesh. It's the earthly nature of man that remains in this flesh, this body of flesh that is still prone to sin. This body of flesh that is still enticed by sin, and literally this body of flesh that is totally incapable of living righteously on its own. It has to do with that part of us that is yet in opposition to God. I mean, there's a part of me that doesn't want to obey God. It wants to suit me. It wants to do what's easy for me. It wants to do what pleases me. There's this war going on. This part of us that desires against the Spirit of God, that it's just self-seeking, self-serving, self-preserving. It's that part of us that will function apart from God if we allow it and don't cut it off. It will follow the dictates of our own heart and our own desires. It's completely self-seeking. And listen, it is incapable of righteousness. The flesh is incapable of righteousness, true righteousness, and it is absolutely prone to sin, enticed by sin and temptation. In Romans 7, verse 18, it's said very well. Romans 7, verse 18, Paul says, "For I know that in me," that is, let me clarify that, Paul says, "that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells." So you want to talk about the flesh? Paul says, yeah, let me tell you something about it. Nothing good dwells there. Nothing. Have you come to realize that? Does that strike right where you live? Oh, I can relate to that. Boy, this flesh, there's nothing good dwelling in my flesh. It's as wicked as it can be. And so even though we have a new nature by the power of God, new Holy Spirit power living in us, we're still battling. Still battling. It's still living in a body of flesh, that new nature. It's residing in a body of flesh that is yet unredeemed. I mean, the internal man, the new man, he's recreated, he's redeemed. The body of flesh that is not redeemed, not yet glorified, that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. If this new nature could get out of this unredeemed flesh, we would live perfect. But it's living in a body of unredeemed flesh. It's not yet glorified. It is not yet made fully like Christ. And that's the issue. Now, the best description of this battle is in Romans 7. I want to go there for a minute because, I mean, I think we all relate to this. I know that I do. Romans 7, Paul describes this battle so very clearly. Now, Paul, Romans 7, go down to verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. We know that Paul is a Christian, born again by the power of God. His life changed on the road to Damascus. He went from hating Christ and hating the church to now loving Christ and serving the church and laying down his life to do it. He's a new man. He's a new creation. And yet, Paul had a battle. And his battle was with the flesh. This body of flesh that remained, that he remains in. And so look at Romans 7, verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." He's just stating a fact, an established truth, that we're still living in a body of flesh. I mean, we still get sick, don't we? We cut ourselves, it hurts. We're still heading for death. We're still carnal. We're still living in a body of flesh, and that body of flesh is under the curse, and that body of flesh is prone to sin and temptation. Is that true? Absolutely. And then we see the conflict. Look at verse 15. "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." I mean, he wills to do it. The law's good. Nothing wrong with that. Verse 17, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me." It's there. "But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Now, Paul's just described the reality of the Christian's life. Is Paul speaking your language right here? We relate to this. I want to follow God. There's true inward desire in me. That's that new nature. I love God. I want to obey God. I want to be who He's called me to be. I want to obey God. I want to be operating in accordance with His truth and bringing glory to His name. And yet, there is within me something that remains that keeps knocking me off my feet, that keeps battling me as I'm trying to obey God and keeps leading me oftentimes to go out and do that which I hate, that which is sinful, and defy God and rebel against God. I'm in a battle, is what Paul's saying. And it's because I'm living in this body of flesh. That's the problem. He says, yet I am carnal, fleshly. This body of flesh, still self-seeking, self-serving, still holding on to me. It's still holding on to us. And so there's a war. There's a battle. There's a conflict on the inside of every true believer. Now, there are some who would say of this passage in Romans 7 that Paul's speaking of when he was lost, that this isn't true in the life of a believer. Well, they're deceived. They're dead wrong. I say that without apology. They're dead wrong. You know why? Because this battle does not go on in the life of an unbeliever. It doesn't. Now, if you live very many years lost, you know that. Because I lived for 23 years lost. And I can tell you that when I was lost, although I had a conscience that had a little bit of knowledge of right and wrong and good and evil, I really gave no regard to God or what was good unless it suited me and helped me or pleased me. And I just gave regard to me and my flesh, and boy, that's how I lived. I never had this battle going on inside of me until I was saved. And so let me tell you this. If this battle rages in you intensely, it's a good indication the Spirit of God is in you. Because if He wasn't, you wouldn't have this battle. You'd be just fine over there in your sin, doing everything your own way. But you can't get away with that anymore. Because the Spirit of God is now inside of you. Amen? He's in us. And so, who alone can save us from this body of death? Keep looking with me at Romans 7, verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. In other words, there's the new man. Okay, but there's still this body of flesh and sin that remains there. And if I'm doing what I don't want to do, it's because I'm in this body of flesh and sin is still a reality. And so verse 21, I find then a law. Here's an established reality, established truth of the believer. That evil is present with me. Who? The one that wills to do good. That's the new nature. The saved man wants to do good. He wants to obey God, but there's this reality that he's still living in a body of flesh that wants to sin and defy God. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Again, that's just the flesh, hands, feet, mind, body, my members, warring against the law of my mind, that new nature, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Our only hope in this battle is Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You won't operate this way in your own power, in the freedom you have in Christ, in the Spirit of God. Not going to get it done. We need to be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, so with the mind, again, this new nature, the redeemed man on the inside that is recreated by God, has the life of God, we serve the law of God, but with the flesh, this body of flesh that remains, the law of sin. He's just saying, look, that's the whole problem. There's the new nature that wants to obey God. There's still this body of flesh that's yet unredeemed and it's still prone to sin. That's the whole issue. And so that's the definition of the flesh, that part of us that's prone to sin. It remains, it's enticed by sin. And so if we're saved, we're engaged in this battle. The new nature, born again by the power of God, new desires, new passions, new pursuits, and yet warring against the body of flesh in which we still live that doesn't want to get up on Sunday morning, doesn't want to go out and share the gospel, doesn't want to lay down its life and serve others in love, doesn't want to take the things of God to heart, is enticed by sin, prone to sin, will eat up sin if you let it. What's the answer to this? Again, what are we commanded in Galatians? Walk in the Spirit. Look at chapter 8, verse 1 of Romans. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. We're not going to be lost again. You're redeemed. You got a new nature. No more condemnation. Not now, not ever. But notice chapter 8, verse 1, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen, there's freedom and there's power in Christ. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, it could never save us, right? What it couldn't do, verse 3, God did. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Why did He do it? That's purpose. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, not forsaken, but that it might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, it's not a freedom to live in sin and forsake the law, but what? Fulfill it. Divine Holy Spirit power to now fulfill it, to walk in it, serve one another in love, serve God in love, not out of requirement, but out of love. And so the truth is this, we have to walk in the Spirit. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, then the flesh has to be dealt with. The flesh has to be dealt with daily, moment by moment. We're called to walk in the Spirit, and the flesh is now warring against the Spirit, and so we have to deal with the flesh. We have to put it off. We have to overpower it. We have to crucify it. Or you're not going to live in the freedom you've got in Christ. You won't accomplish anything for eternity in your own flesh, in your own power. You must walk in the Spirit. And so let me just give you some practical things before we move on. How do you walk in the Spirit? Number one, right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. If you're still there, say amen. Okay. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so how do you walk in the Spirit? You got to get your mind right. What are you minding? Where's your mind? Is it on the things of the flesh and everything your flesh wants and desires? Or is your mind on the things of God and everything that God says and what God desires? The Scripture tells us long ago in the Old Testament, as a man thinks, what is it? So is he. If you're thinking about the flesh and the world and everything you want to do to serve yourself, guess where you're going to live? In the flesh. But you put that off and you get your mind saturated with the things of God and the Word of God and the desires of God, and that's what you're minding continually, and that's where your mind is. Guess where you're going to live? In the Spirit. One leads to life, the other to death. One leads to things that are eternal value. The other, walking in the flesh and minding things of the flesh, of no value. One or the other. So where's your mind? As goes the mind, so goes our life. Now, without Christ, it's impossible to mind the things of the Spirit. And so what do we need to do? We need to get into the Word. Seems simple, doesn't it? How often are we in the Word? How often are we? I mean, all day long we're being filled with the flesh and the world and everything out there, but how often are we coming apart and we're saturating our mind with God and the truth of God and the Word from God's mouth? That's what we've got to have in our mind. Be transformed, Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind. So we've got to get our mind right. It's crucial. Seems so basic. But we often let that slip. We're minding everything but the truth of God and the things of God. And so we've got to get our mind right. Secondly, through that, we've got to get the flesh put to death. Put to death sin. And so down in Romans 8, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the end of that path. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's a crucial truth. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Now, how many of us have, you know, we're saved and we're born again, and God's rooting sin out of us, and we're getting victory, and all of a sudden we come to a sin, and we pray over it, we ask God for forgiveness, cleansing, divine power, and we get over it for a duration. Boom. We sin again, that exact same sin. Broken, plead with God for forgiveness, cleansing, plead with God for victory, divine enablement, get over it for a time, a season. Boom. Fall to it again. Speaking anybody's language. Why? The flesh. Not an excuse, just the reality of it. We're living in a body that is unredeemed. And if you don't cut it off, it will feed itself. You don't got your mind right, and your mind's over there, that's where your flesh is going to go, that's where your life's going to go. And so you fill your mind with the Word, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You say, well, how do I do that like tomorrow morning? I mean, what's that really mean? Prayer. This doesn't happen automatic. You're not going to walk in the Spirit if you're not given to prayer. I guarantee you, if prayer is lacking in your life, you're not walking in the Spirit. You will not be in the Spirit till you get yourself in prayer and you put this flesh to death. And you saturate your mind with that truth. And then you might be in the Spirit for a duration. Maybe very short. As I've said, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that way in the morning. Got my mind right, my heart right. Spent time with God in fellowship, studied the Word, studied to preach, overwhelmed with God's truth, working on sermons to come out of my bedroom and in a moment be in my flesh like I'm an idiot, like I'm not even a preacher. I'm no better than you. I'm not on some other level than you. I battle just like you do, probably more so. And I only say that because this is entrusted to me. To give this to you and to live it myself. And so this is a battle. This is a battle. And so listen, you've got to pray. How do you put the flesh to death? Well, not by staying up late and, you know, eating banana pudding like we had the other day for Elizabeth's birthday. I took one little bite or two of that thing. But you know, you got to get away with God. You got to draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. You got to get your mind upon God and reverence God and keep God right in your mind and just fill your mind and your thoughts with the truth and get in the Word and then pray. And in prayer say, God, I love You. And God, I thank You for saving me. And God, I want to live for You. And God, this flesh keeps hounding me and battling me. And God, I need divine power. I can't battle this flesh in my own strength. I cannot put sin to death in my own power. God, You know this. You know me. I need you. Amen. That's where the flesh dies. That's where the Spirit of God takes hold. And only there. And so how often are we literally walking in the Spirit? Or how often are we walking in our flesh? You want to live in true freedom? Walk in the Spirit. Put this flesh to death. Get your mind right, your heart right, go to God. Listen, how far are we going to go if we're not drinking something and eating something on a regular basis? I'm no dietitian, I'm no doctor, I'm no nurse, but some of you are nurses for sure. How good are we going to be next week if we haven't ate in 3 or 4 days? Or in the next 6 days, whatever it is. We're not going to be doing good. I mean, we're going to be worn out. How far you think you're going to get this week? Spiritually, if you haven't fed on God and His Word, got your mind right and your heart right and put your flesh to death, how much do you think you're going to avail in your life for the eternal things of God? You're not. You're weak. Pretty simple, isn't it? So hard, though, because our flesh doesn't want to. We think we can wing it. I'll get to that at some point. And we're deceived. We've got to get there. It's crucial. It's crucial. So easy to let that slip, but this is how we walk in the Spirit. Now, a couple of things. I'm probably running out of time, but what's the result of this? Just very quickly, if we walk in the Spirit and we wage this warfare in Holy Spirit power and prayer and get our mind right and we're putting the flesh to death and walking in the Spirit, what is the result? Well, there's two things that we see in verses 16 through 18. The first thing is there in verse 16. Number one, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I say then walk in the Spirit, and what's the result? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you not fulfill the lust of the flesh? Only if you walk in the Spirit. As I said, it's one or the other every moment of every day. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. One or the other, never both at the same time. And so if we will go to war and battle and get before God in prayer and the Word and ask Him for divine enablement to put the flesh to death, and we will mind the things of the Spirit and put our heart and our soul and our thoughts there, and then in Holy Spirit power, listen, He will enable us. He'll enable us to live for Him and honor Him and do what He has called us to do in all the affairs of life. And you know what? We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's the only way to overpower the flesh. And the good news is this: there's power to overpower the flesh, Holy Spirit power. There's power to live in the freedom we have in Christ through the Holy Spirit. And God is telling us how you do that. I say then walk in the Spirit. If you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It will be put to death, trampled underfoot, and you will live for the glory of my name. You will be divinely empowered to that end. The second reality is down there in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he's just coming back to this same truth that he's been trying to instill in these believers and God in us. We're not under the law if we're in the Spirit. If we are born again, If the Spirit of God is now living in us, if we are led by the Spirit, then we are not under the law. What's he saying? You're free. You are free in Christ. You're no longer under the law as a means to try to earn your acceptance before God. Christ has done it all. You're no longer under the condemnation of the law. You're free to now serve God in love, in Holy Spirit power. Serve one another in love, in Holy Spirit power. There's the freedom you've been given in Christ. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under that law. You're not in bondage. You're free now to live for Him. Not free to sin, but free to live for Him. That's the freedom that we've now been given. Before we could never live for Him, now we're enabled divinely to live for Him. Now listen, everyone in this world is under one of two systems. They're either under the law of God and therefore condemned and cursed because there's no hope there to save the soul. Or they are set free in Christ, born again by the Spirit of God. No more condemnation. One or the other system. Every person. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If that's where our hope is, if we have the Spirit of God living in us, if we're led by the Spirit, then listen, we're not under the law. You're free. The life of a Christian is the life of a free man, free woman. And so what do? Well, back in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Stand there. Don't get off into this ditch of sin thinking it's no big deal how you now live, as if now you're, you know, grace that sin may abound. Certainly not. And don't get off on the other side of the ditch where you think, boy, if I just do enough and pray enough and serve enough and I just do all this stuff and you're all wrapped up in what you can do, and that's where you get your favor from God. Don't get in that ditch of legalism. Stand in the freedom you have in Christ. Holy Spirit freedom. That's not our hope. Our hope is Christ. And now through Holy Spirit power, we live for Him. We serve one another in love. Serve God in love. And then, what else are we to do? Just in Galatians 5, I want you to see this again. Down in verse 24 and 25. Galatians 5, verse 24. Just notice what he says. And there's fruits given in the middle there. You can look at those later. Fruits of the flesh, fruits of the Spirit. It's how you can examine what's coming out of you. But down in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the mark of the believer. They're putting that thing to death. That's past tense. They have done it. But it's a continual battle. Verse 25 speaks of that. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If that's true of us, we now live in the Spirit. What do you mean? You're born again. God's Spirit's in you. If you live in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Put that thing to death. Walk in the Spirit of God. And so that's the command, walk in the Spirit. The Christian life can be lived no other way. No other way. We must be born again by the power of God, the Spirit of God living in us, divine life of God now in us, changed. And then surrender daily, moment by moment, to the Spirit of God. It's the old prayer. It's such a good prayer. Oh God, less and less of me and more of you. Less and less of me and more of you until there's nothing left of me and all that's left is you. That's what we strive after. That's how we're live. And this is how we live in the freedom we have in Christ. Listen, we're free in Christ, but we're to be living in that freedom. How do you do that? Only as you walk in the Spirit. Well, let's stand this morning if you're able. And we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And I would just ask you as we're standing and maybe getting situated there, closing our eyes, bowing our heart and soul before God and examining ourselves, I would ask you, number one, listen, are you truly saved? You look at your life, are you a new creation in Christ? There's no doubt there's an old man that has died and a new man that's raised up. You're a new creation. God is in you. He's changed you. You now love Him, not as you ought, but true love for God in you, true desire and will to obey Him. And you're just a new creation in Christ. Is that true of you? Or as this has been revealed through the Word this morning, are you sitting there saying, boy, I really don't know this in my life. I don't really know that that's true in me. then you need to be saved. You need to be saved, because if you're His Spirit is in you. No question about it. And so, listen, there's forgiveness of sin and cleansing and victory in Jesus Christ. He will save you. You can have the divine life of God living in you. You can have the stamp of God as His own purchased possession. You can know that you're headed for heaven and everlasting life if you will turn from sin to Christ and put all your hope in Jesus as Savior and Lord. He'll save you. And that's where Christian life begins. Everything changes. And so if you need to be saved, come this morning. And if you are saved, I would have you examine your heart this morning and say, you know, ask yourself this, am I really walking in the Spirit? And if I get honest with God, how much of my life on a daily basis am I just in my flesh? And maybe not just in the mire of sin, but I'm just not Holy Spirit empowered, and I'm operating in my own ability and what I can do, and I'm not minding the things of God and filled with the Spirit of God and truly walking in the Spirit. I would have to venture to say that even as a pastor, I've lived much more of my life in the flesh than in the Spirit. I battle, and you do too if you're a Christian. And so we might just need to come this morning and say, God, please forgive me. I've drifted, Lord. I'm not even feeding in prayer and the Word. I'm not even nourishing my mind and my soul up so I can walk in the Spirit. And I just need to get back to that place. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you've got some sin undone in your life that you've let go and you need to get out of that ditch. Because if you stay there, it might be evidence you're not even His. But if you are His, He's going to work you over in that ditch until you get back to the straight and narrow of Christ. And I don't know what God might be doing in your life this morning, but listen, He hasn't spoken this to no purpose. And this word is to find root in you and me. I want to live this. Let's pray. Father, we need You today. So we try to take this into our heart and soul and not be wrapped up in ourselves or what we can do, but truly abandoned to Christ and what He has accomplished for us on the cross, and know that freedom in our heart and live in that freedom. God, help us. We need You. It's so easy to be in the flesh. It takes a battle, discipline, effort to be truly walking in the Spirit and given up to You. God, help us to understand that and see what this means throughout this day and tomorrow morning to live this. God, help us. You know where we are. You know what we need. Move in our hearts. Help us to respond to You. If there's someone lost today, oh God, that You would save them right here and now. They would come running from sin to Christ and put their faith in Him and know the life that is in Him, the victory that is in Christ, the freedom that's in Christ. So God, help us today. We thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.